Hey, welcome and thanks for tuning in and listening to the Automotive Aftermarket's premier podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Hey, there are different approaches to every situation and problems, especially in automotive repair diagnostics. Now, my two guests bring their different approaches in solving diag issues to the podcast. They did it before in episode 544. That was part one. But this time, they take it to the next level. More great diag talk in this episode. Matt Fonslow and Scott Schotten once again prove their own points in this second part. They may not agree on the processes, but their approach to diagnose and solve problems are undeniable. They are relentless, but their individual approach does work. Matt and Scott are fine-tuned by years of experience diagnosing problems under the hood. In the end, we can pass the decision to you, the listener. Which pathway do you prefer? What works for you? Possibly a hybrid of our discussion? Hey, two great partners bring you today's episode, Virtual Apex and Shopware. Now, hey, Virtual Apex, November 3rd through the 5th, 2020, will be the hub of free training for shop owners, technicians, and service advisors, everyone from the shop. Several Apex exhibitors, including Drive Garage Gurus, Autel, Bolt-On Technology, Bosch Hunter, and Napa Auto Care will be there with their training. I've interviewed so many of the trainers that are part of Virtual Apex, it's like family. And it's world class. Make the smart move. Go register, because registration is required. It's free training on the web at aapexshow.com/register. Hey, now more than ever, you're focused on bringing cars through your bays safely and efficiently. Shopware's shop management system offers a completely contactless workflow. Your customers can review, approve, and even pay for the repairs right from their smartphone or personal device. Request a demo and see them in action at getshopware.com. Hey, both Matt and Scott agree that the customer supplies important data for the technician. The service consultant must write it all down so the tech has as much information as available.
And this one's ultrasonic, and now I've got ADOS. I've never really run into ADOS before.
Right. Good example.
Forward-facing camera. I've never run into that before, and I'm supposed to calibrate it. Well, should I have do I need targets? So I just go for a drive and now I can't get it to calibrate. I've never run into that before. They've always calibrated. Now I can't get this one to calibrate. So I got to level with you. I'd say periodically, easily once a week, maybe, I don't know, once a day maybe is a little much, but once a week, there's something that's like, I've never seen this before. I got to think about this.
Hey, more with Matt Fonslow and Scott Schotten in a minute. Hey, did you see this week's shop tour? We've seen about 20 tours since we started in May of 2020, and I hope you're watching the new show, AftermarketWeekly.com. So much fun to do. It's a live show every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, and we repurpose every episode on the AftermarketWeekly.com website. Good information, guest hosts, stuff to share, some new ideas, and a shop tour. How cool is that? AftermarketWeekly.com. We're always looking for interesting and inspiring success stories in the world of the aftermarket. Reach out to me, carm@remarkableresults.biz. Maybe the world needs to hear your story or a friend's. Hey, the podcast is designed for the forever student, the constant tweaker, the business innovator, the striving successor, and you. Enjoy. Hey, everybody, a warm welcome to Matt Fonslow, Scott Schotten, here for, I don't know if it's round two, round three, I'm not even sure, but you guys have enough rounds without being on the podcast together, don't you?
I'm pretty sure I got counted out in the first round.
Oh, my God. So glad you guys are here. So Matt and Scott got together and we did a show on diagnostic pathways versus silver bullets. It was episode 544. And it was an enlightening. I don't think you guys sparred a whole lot, but you have your different philosophies. Matthew approaches it from, a diagnostic pathway, pure diagnostic pathway. And Scott, you've been on record to say that you'll do it that way. Plus, you'll find a silver idea, silver bullet somewhere and combine them. It's not like Matt doesn't want to, but we were discussing the fact that there's so many different ways to approach things, and we should get together on this show and do, I don't know if it's a tit for tat type of thing, he says, she says, unscripted here. We are totally unscripted. We turn the recorder on to see where this thing can go, and trust me, I know you guys are up to creating just a great episode here.
My intent with this was because of the previous two podcasts was, what path do you take? And Matt had pointed out, in the past that the previous episode that he doesn't check TSBs first. And I don't necessarily check TSBs first. And we were talking about pathways. So my thought was, let's play with what is your path? What is your logical approach to any vehicle problem? And we'll pull out a couple examples here, but how do you approach it? Because quite often the manufacturer's charts are not, let's say, complete. Do you disagree, Matt?
Oh, not at all. I mean, right. there might be the one great flow chart, but it's pretty rare.
Right. So what my thought was is, how does a technician follow an SOP, standard operating procedure, the same stuff you've done with the management type stuff? Like, what do you do when that car comes in the door? Because we could, and I think the first question coming up is probably going to revolve around a misfire. How do you approach a misfire, a single cylinder misfire? As technicians, we have compression tests. You know, we can check an ignition coil. We can check a spark plug. We can check a spark plug wire. We can check, you know, it's compression, fuel, exhaust. If we want to go and test all of those things, we can. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you're going to prove everything, hopefully, prove that everything is good. But why should you do all of those things? So if you have a good diagnostic path or procedure, we can eliminate a lot of those things. Process of elimination is one of the things that comes up in my head.
We spoke very, very briefly before this episode, and I'm going to answer it the same way. I'm not going to modify my answer, because it was a little bit of a, I kind of said something in such a way that insinuates skipping a step. And I don't necessarily mean it that way, but I very well could do this. We're talking about a misfire. That's what I know about the car. I don't know how if I want to paraphrase this as being experienced or seasoned or taking the job very seriously and always looking to improve. But when I get in that vehicle and drive it into my bay, I'm using more than just, you know, sight, smell. I'm using as many of my senses as I can. And I had brought this up to Scott earlier, is sometimes a misfire has a certain feel to it. And hopefully there's people listening to this know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're pulling it into the bay, you're going, this feels like ignition. And that's a good and bad thing. It can send you down, it could send you down a rabbit hole, because there's situations where a mechanical issue or even a fuel issue could mimic that ignition feel. I would say my first step is to, you know, not to sound like a strategy-based diagnostics or anything like that, but it is to try to verify the problem. And if it's happening right now, I'm going to say it just like I did in our previous conversation. I hop in the vehicle and I drive it in, and I'm trying to use all my senses to gather info. Does this feel, what does it feel like? Is it missing all the time? Am I hearing some popping, you know, out from under the hood and the tailpipe? What are these clues maybe as I drive that in?
Man, how often do those clues put you in the right direction?
I would say a lot.
With experience.
I think some experience and also training. Definitely training, but also just statistics a little bit too on my side, that if it feels like ignition, chances are it probably is, you know, and that's that kind of more intermittent misfire, but it's, you know, happening often on the drive into the bay. You know, it's kind of that you know, something like that. Morse code. I don't know what I just told everybody in Morse code, but hopefully it was
not a bad word.
Yeah, hopefully it wasn't a swear word. It usually gives me a direction, but I'm kind of leaving this to throw up a softball for Scott to rip one on me, because I deserve it.
I'm not going to rip one yet. Here's the way I see it, and some other questions might come up that might apply to the same strategy, okay? Here's the way I see it. The customer brings a car in, and in this case, it's a misfire issue. The first thing you're going to do is plug a scan tool into that car without even starting it. You're going to pull codes. You're going to try and identify a cylinder. You're going to try and look at fuel trim numbers. Granted, we can't always trust the freeze frame data, but you're going to gather that data. And then you're going to probably drive the vehicle based on the customer's complaint. It only misfires cruising down the road. Well, then you better drive it down the road, right? It misfires at idle. And a tech is going to know if it's a dead misfire on whatever cylinder. If it's a dead misfire, you start that car and it's going thump, 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 thump. Yeah, you really don't have to drive it that far. You pull it in the shop. But since you already have a scan tool plugged in, we got to start to look at some data and then narrow down our tree. Now, what Matt said, the seat of your pants or the, you know, your experience, if I crank that car over without it starting and it goes, and I feel like an idiot making that noise, that's an indicator. And that's all it is an indicator of potentially a mechanical issue because the engine, the crankshaft speed changes. We're taking our butt in the seat, our ears, in some cases, our nose, getting a piece of data, but it's only a piece of data. We're not going to diagnose the car that way. So first step, and probably everything we're going to talk about, is going to be having a scan tool plugged in. You know, turn signals.
Yeah, I would never disagree with that.
Right?
I didn't mention it because it's just almost like assumed. You walk out to the vehicle with a scan tool and... I'm positive I said this at Vision 1 year, probably in a tech talk. It's getting to the point where as shop owners, managers, techs even, there better be a scan tool in every bay or at least in every technician's hands, regardless of position within the company. Meaning the lube tech better have a scan tool and of course your diagnostic tech and everybody in between because there's just so little we do now that doesn't require the use of the scan tool, whether it is the diagnostic side, which we're focusing on, gathering data, but also just completing the repairs with calibrations and adaptions and whatnot.
Yeah, and you're not talking about a code reader.
No.
Right. You know, your $80 thing you buy from Farm and Fleet or Walmart or whatever. No, you need some data. You need some information.
I think this is a good spot to launch this idea, and I launched it on Scott. A diagnostic process doesn't have to be rigid, and it really shouldn't be. I know some people do that. They have really good luck with it, and I mean, you got to go with what got you, you know, to the dance or whatever too, right? I kind of liken diagnostic process with chess or poker. We could call it the scientific method as well, and it fits perfectly. But I'm just thinking like you have an idea, and that's your hand, and then you see the flop. And now you're going to make a decision based off those cards as well as how is everybody else betting? What are their tells? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to change my process, my next bet, check, fold, whatever that is, based on those responses. Same with chess. I make this move. How do they respond? I'm going to respond back this way or change my strategy even. And liken that to, if I gave away the answer on this misfire car and I told you it's a mechanical issue, that there's an odd valve sealing issue that mimics an ignition misfire. It's got that, you know, my Morse code sound to it again or feel to it. You have to be able to look at some data and be able to say, you know what? That's the wrong direction. Chasing this ignition, you know, maybe I've scoped some ignition secondary or primary and it looks really good. I got to now rethink, what could I test to rule out these other possibilities or really drill down that this is ignition? And I liken that to being able to either check your hand or fold and back up or in chess, change your strategy. Instead of blasting up the center, I'm going to try to go, you know, over to this other file or this other file.
And all of this without going to look for a bullet.
For me, I'm not at the TSBs or the bullets just yet.
Yeah, I call that organic. And also reading the invoice, the repair order, Matt. I mean, you're looking for your service consultant to write enough so that you really know what the vehicle owner is feeling, hearing, saying, telling. You got to get a novel.
That's how you're going to provide value.
The customer supplies valuable data just like a scan tool, right? The more you can get from the customer, You compare it to the scan tool. And that's one of my pet peeves is if you have a, let's just say, drivability issue. If you have that issue, there's no reason you shouldn't record some data on your test drive so you can compare and go, okay, my fuel trims do X and my oxygen sensor does Y. And that's extremely valuable data. The customer is important. What Matt's talking about is important. It's all a big, it's a puzzle.
I think you're constantly refining it based on tooling, information at your disposal, experience. You know, I've been burned by this now. Now I'm going to move this test up a little bit earlier in my strategy, or I'm at least going to remember this test to bust out in this situation.
Hey, Carm here. Now find out if diagnosing misfires or parasitic drains will be easier in the future, according to Matt and Scott. Hey, Carm here. Now, the virtual Apex experience happens November 3rd through the 5th, 2020. It will be the hub of free training for shop owners, technicians, and service advisors. You'll find instructor-led training, plus several exhibitors will be there with their training, starting with Drive Garage Gurus. They'll cover topics like engine performance diagnostic strategies, electronic power steering, wheel speed sensor testing and diagnosis, and the top five misfire diagnostics. Autel will provide training on ADAS and calibration, using a good vehicle inspection process to document suggested and required repairs to consumers, and how scan tools and lab scopes work together for more complete and accurate diagnosis and repair. Bolt-On Technology will bring us its Bolt-On University to attendees, covering best practices and the Fast Track Your Shop's Success program. Bosch will provide ADAS training, while Hunter Engineering will focus on wheel alignment and ADAS. Kikui and Napa Auto Care will also offer exhibitor-led training and demos. It's all free. Now to register, go to www.aapexshow.com/register. Shopware's innovative shop management system will give you back your time and put more money in your pocket. Make the switch today and watch technician efficiency gain 20%, enjoy increased recommended service, and even grow the highest parts profit margins ever with the smallest amount of work. You know, Steve from Ultimate Automotive says, I love that Shopware lets you complete every estimate on the inspection, and we even have a higher ARO, receive more approvals, and have had a significant increase in revenue. With our previous SMS, estimating was limited because it was so time-consuming. This impacted not only what we could sell on each customer's current visit, but also what we would have prepared for following visits. Hey, your peers are happy. Let Shopware work for you. Book a demo at getshopware.com. Based on the years you've got, the training that you've done, are you at a reliable state of greater than 50% that organically you can come up with a solution?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. A lot of techs out there easily do 50% on their own.
Easily. I mean, would you say that yours is 60?
Yeah.
If you know how the system works and you have experience and you know how to use the tools that you have, you're going to be over 60.
I'm glad you say that, because there's no way I mean this to being, I am so freaking good.
Agreed.
Because if I really am, it's not just because of me. It's because of, well, honestly, a lot of luck. I mean, I got to level with you. There's a lot of luck involved, and not so much lucky. Well, maybe for me, a lot of luck on the car itself. I lucked out and got it right. But lucky in people I've met, classes I've been able to attend, especially with this COVID thing now, with online training. You know, if you wanted to see some of the real quote unquote heavy hitter instructors, you had to travel unless you lived nearby. There was no way to really see them. And now with COVID, a lot of them are doing their online training. And now we have this very unique opportunity to see the best of the best present regularly. And that's something we didn't have before.
Yeah, it's a training situation that's changing with the times.
What I just heard Matt say is that you've got to invest in yourself to not only push your own career forward, but to continue to add value to the place that you work.
You know what, Matt and I and many other people on your podcast have said that before. You have to invest. We've had other training podcasts, and if you're going to be good, if you have passion and you're going to move forward, you got to learn how this stuff works.
learn how it works, learn how to use that piece of equipment the shop bought or you bought. You know, sometimes we make big decisions. You know, I don't own a boat. I probably could drive a much nicer car, but I've spent my money on scan tools and diagnostic equipment. And that's the truth.
No offense, but I'm in the same boat.
Were you ever going to just throw up a little mini case study here and look at your different approaches?
I didn't have a case study planned, but we could talk about an approach. I'm going to pose this question to Matt, and let's see. We're going off the cuff here. So Matt is the technician. A vehicle comes in, it's towed in, crank no start, there's lights on the dash. I'm going to give one thing. It's got a communication issue. So when that car comes in, crank no start, what's your first step? Well, please tell me, plug in a scan tool.
But yeah, anyway. Right. I mean, that's it right there. I was going to say, if we left it a little more vague, how times have changed, where years ago it would have been grab the spark tester, maybe a fuel pressure gauge, maybe a, God, I hate Noid lights with a passion, but Noid light or a scope. Newer cars, you're watching the dash, check engine light, come on. You know, used to kind of be able to tell if the module is being powered up that way. Not so much anymore. And now it is literally step one, grab a scan tool, plug it in, pull codes. Can I get to some data to watch crank RPM or something of that nature? Mm-hmm. So in this one, we have a communication issue. I've plugged the scan tool in. I went right to look at a data list or codes on a PCM or engine control module, powertrain control module. I can't talk to it. Now I would back out and I would try to do like a health report or an all module scan and see if I can't get a feel for how many modules I can't talk to. Is it just the one? Is there a group of them? Or can I not talk to anything? If you can't only talk to the engine control module, you're going to be stick something very specific to it. Power feed, ground, 5-volt reference, voltage references, depending on the system or car line or whatnot, platform. So anything that could affect that individually, communication lines. And then, now is it a group of modules I can't talk to? Now I'm pulling up wiring schematics. What do all these modules have in common? Is it this specific network, a high-speed network, medium speed, you know, body, you know what I mean, powertrain only? What is this network that is affected? And then can I not talk to anything? You know, do I need to go grab another scan tool just for grins? Do I have a secure gateway module I got to deal with that whatever scan tool I've chose is not going to do squat? I've only seen that once, so probably a bad example, but usually you get something. That's what I'm going to base this strategy on, is what's my next step? If it's just the individual module, I'm probably not trying to find splice packs and whatnot or break the network to in half or break it apart to see if I can narrow down an issue. If I have a group of modules, then I'm going to focus on that group. Most likely it's going to be one, you know, individual network. The whole network is down. And I'm going to find some way to access all of it or a large portion of it through a splice pack of some sort. I mean, we got to consider what are even the possibilities of that. If we have multiple networks, it's probably somewhat unrealistic. Yeah. But
You answered the question perfectly. That was what I was fishing for, was what is your path? The whole thing about pathing is like it's a tree. To answer my own question, if the car came in crank no start, I connected a scan tool. Again, step number one, we check codes, we got communication issues. My first step is going to be to do a full module scan. We're going to scan every freaking module on that car and see what communicates. At the same time, because some scan tools take a little while to do that, depending on what tool and what car you're working on, they do that full module scan. I'm going to go look at a wiring diagram and go, all right, what modules are on this car? Let me look at the topology. And then I take a highlighter and go, all right, cool. This guy talks, this guy doesn't. This guy talks, this guy doesn't. And then graphically on a piece of paper, we go, all right, cool. I got a problem with one module, one network, or the entire car. There's a couple other options there, but to be vague, that's the three choices. So again, if we're not talking too technical, but we're talking about the process, that narrows us down to where am I going? So if I had one module, then I'm assuming Matt will agree with me. If I got one module that doesn't communicate, I'm going for powers, grounds, wake up signals, 5-volt reference. There's not too many more options, right? But that's where I'm going. If I got a network that's down, first thing I'm breaking out is a scope to scope that network and then figure out. Matt made comments about splice packs. And again, I don't want to get too technical, but to, again, break it down into individual things. So the process is start basic always with a freaking scan tool. Next thing is choose your path based on the data that you get. But don't go the misfire issue. Don't go drive the car without a scan tool plugged in. With a network communication issue, sometimes they surprise you, but you're going to find out because you have a scan tool plugged in, right? Start with the scan tool and then divide and conquer might be a good way to say it.
Guys, what you just discussed, both Matt, you kind of did a monologue on it, Scott, you shored up what Matt was talking about, went a little different. Is there any way that you could find that, you know, where you went quickly by going into some of the, you know, the internet portals and, you know, plugged that in and got some guidance? If there's a silver idea to get you from, you know, to instead of the hour that you just invested, maybe it would have been 45 minutes in.
The answer is absolutely you could. Absolutely. We could pick on GM, maybe specifically Cadillac with proximity key, that you'll get a no crank, no start. It won't be able to see the key. Yeah. When you're trying to start it, you're sitting in the car. All you have to do is have the key in your hand and press the start button, and it can't see the key. It'll say no key detected or some sort of a message like that. And it's really, really common, at least in the Midwest and the Rust Belt, for one of the object detection modules to be corroded severely and taking down a network, the same network needed for the antenna in the interior to see the key. You would find that right away on any good resource, or lucky on a maybe an enthusiast forum, but a good resource database, if you will have that. And then you run the car up on a hoist and you grab your flashlight and you look, and it's like, oh my God, look at all the white and green billowing out of this module. I'll unplug it and maybe the car starts. And you'd probably have a lot less time involved than what I would do and maybe what Scott would do, depending on circumstances, right?
What's the percentage of that hitting the mark?
I don't know that I could put a percentage on it. However, if you have a logical strategy, again, Matt mentioned it earlier, one of the earliest things you're going to do on a vehicle, a modern vehicle, is plug in a scan tool and see what communicates. And if I'm not mistaken, the scenario that Matt's talking about, we would have communication issues. Agreed?
Yeah, I agree.
With a network or a single module? That's a question.
It would correct. Be a network. It would take a okay. network down.
So the whole network would be down. And the way I explained it earlier, if I plugged in the scan tool and I lost communication, it doesn't matter what the customer's complaint is. If I lost communication with every module on a particular network and the wiring diagram pointed that out, now it's a network communication issue. And I'm approaching that a little bit different than what the initial complaint was. So I might have to unplug one module at a time. I'm trying not to get too techie. But yeah, it points you in the direction. Again, one of the reasons we pointed out that whether it's a misfire or a network communication issue, scan tools the way to go, at least to give you direction. Yeah. Right. And then choose your path.
Yeah. And I think to answer Karma's question, I hope this is directly, is that I often refer to the databases as playing field levelers because, you know, I don't hate them. It's not like I never use them, but it kind of irks me that, you know, I've invested all this time and money and effort and, you know, I've had my fair share of luck to try to learn how to do these things and figure these things out in an appropriate manner that I think is a professional and appropriate manner, only to have the shop down the street that does not invest the time or techs, but we'll just say pick on shops. They don't invest time or money in training and equipment and hiring techs that want to learn as much as possible and get better at every car. It irks me that they're just going to pull that up, copy paste the VIN in there, no crank, no start, or no start, whatever the symptom we want to punch in there is, and boom, top three, it'll say can't communicate with all these modules. Go to here and unplug it and see if it starts.
That does lead to parts changing. That does lead to some higher bills. It does maybe occasionally lead to unsatisfied customers. But Matt, is it getting easier for you to do your job, or is it going to, because of the technology, the laden technology, is it going to get harder?
It depends. It really does. Some issues are so much easier to diagnose now. Misfires typically are so much easier to diagnose than years ago. So much easier. Parasitic drains suck. They suck.
Agreed. 100% agree.
Well, because the possibilities of what could be causing the drain has gone up significantly. And now, not only do you have to worry about the actual component that's pulling this current, this parasitic drain killing the battery, it might be a seemingly unrelated component that is keeping that component awake. I'm looking at this body control module and it's pulling all this current. It's got to be what's bad. And I put it in there and I got the same problem. And then I find out there's a switch in one of the doors that isn't working. And it doesn't necessarily affect the courtesy lights, or I don't see any indicators on the dash, but there's a switch, a position switch of some sort, and that's keeping that module awake. And that's why I have the parasitic drain. So some things are so much easier, so much easier. We have so much data in our lap with that scan tool. We have so much help now using our scopes with auto setups and whatnot, helping us gather more and more data. But some things on cars, because of their complexity, have gotten much more difficult.
Matt, Scott, how often are you seeing problems that you've never seen before?
Every day.
Yeah, I'd have to concur. I would say every day, at the very least once a week, something that just kind of out of left field.
Right before this podcast, I had to deal with, and I'm not done with it yet, a convertible top that was replaced due to hail damage on it wasn't even that new, a 12 or 13 Chrysler 200C, I think. And it's doing some weird stuff, but it's the scan tool that is going to eventually end up giving me the right data to find out it's an inhibit. I can't get the top to open.
Yeah. And it could be a, by problem, that's a little, it's vague. It's still a really good question, but it could be a code I've never seen before, a DTC. It could be an issue with a vehicle getting data from it. Like my regular aftermarket tools that I grab, my first grabs, they're not working. And now I have to go get this factory tool set up, whether I'm buying it or I can use a generic J-Box subscriptions. Something like that. And then also systems. Maybe I've never seen a parking aid system. And, today is my first day. And this one's ultrasonic. And now I've got ADOS. I've never really run into ADOS before.
Right. Good example.
Forward-facing camera. I've never run into that before. And I'm supposed to calibrate it. Well, should I have do I need targets? So I just go for a drive? And no, I can't get it to calibrate. I've never run into that before. They've always calibrated. Now I can't get this one to calibrate. So I got to level with you. I'd say periodically, easily once a week, maybe, I don't know, once a day maybe is a little much, but once a week, there's something that's like, I've never seen this before. I got to think about this.
I've enjoyed this. I think we kind of nailed it, but I got to ask you guys a final question. Mercedes has just come out with the new virtual HoloLens. In fact, I actually saw a live demo of it from some aftermarket, not aftermarket, but from some trainers that are working with a lot of OE manufacturers in getting that kind of support, help, instruction going. It was an hour-long demo on the HoloLens as far as how you, that you can teach a technician to do everything that they possibly can under the vehicle. What's your opinion of that as the future of diagnostics and or the future of training?
I could be wrong, but I thought Pete and I talked about this a little bit. With BMW had that virtual,
yep.
Basically the headset they use for Apache helicopters. And that had service information and processes built in and kind of the, not virtual reality, but...
augmented reality.
Yeah, thank you. Augmented reality, where they kind of overlay something over what's really there, and it might show you what size sockets to use, what's the torque, how's this piece come apart. I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner. For a long time, all the talk was about guided fault finding or test plans, where more and more diagnostic decisions would be taken away from a human's hands, a tech's hands, and that it was going to be going through essentially a flow chart through a diagnostic tool, you know, plugged in or not, that would walk you through the process of figuring out what's wrong with the car. And now it's leapfrogged. It's going, I think it's going to be this augmented reality. I think techs are going to put on a headset, and indie techs, I don't know what we do if we go through a portal of some sort to be able to use it with the different car lines.
I'm not surprised that there are people working on this and they're not ready to announce, because then everybody's going to say, I want it. What I saw was so interesting. There was a QR code on the workbench. And the HoloLens looked down. You took your face, you looked down at it, and it took a picture of it. And it established the workbench as the place where you put this part. I think it was a diesel pump, for example, and it was there. It would tell you the wrench size, put the wrench on the item for you, even though it was a virtual wrench, and it would show you the way to turn the wrench. There would be a big looped arrow one way or the other, because now you were going to take off these tubes, if you will. And then at the end, after you did your diag or repair or whatever it was, and then it would go back into the reverse process, and you'd see the arrows going the other way to screw the, if you will, the flare nut back on the tubing. I found it so interesting. And you could pinch in the sky and blow things up and go to, you can get service bulletins, and they would, and everything is laid out in front of you. So your hands and your eyes made a big difference in the world. You could go to the internet, find a PDF file, open it up just by using your hands in the air and take a look at a TSB. And so there's no doubt that Microsoft is working carefully with many industries out there, automotive being probably one of the biggest that I think can benefit from it. Scott, your opinion?
My opinion is it's going to be the same thing over again. Don't get me wrong. That technology is sweet. It's beautiful. Bat and I are both tech nerds. That stuff is great. Currently, because it's new, the price tag is huge. I know that BMW is using it for some of their techs and some of their training, the HoloLens thing. If you step back for a minute, we could actually relate this to our earlier conversation that the manufacturer charts to diagnose a vehicle aren't always good. A human, probably an engineer, not a tech, has to program the step-by-step. And what's it called, Matt? The guided fault finding. That's what I was looking for. Okay, the guided fault finding, that's what you're going to get in that HoloLens, which isn't always accurate. And again, I'm just kind of predicting the future. I'm not saying it's bad, but it may not always point you down the right path. But if you have knowledge and you step away and follow a logical path that maybe the engineers didn't think about.
But it's not unrealistic, I don't think, that then those manufacturers would be looking to hiring a Scott Shotton to go work.
Oh, stop it.
No, but I mean,
I'll take it. You're going to offer me six figures? I'll take it.
I'm guessing it will be well taken care of, and you are going to be the one dispatched, you know, amongst others to the dealership to find out where the system failed, and you're going to figure it out, and you're going to be essentially trying to work yourself out of a job. Not saying it would actually happen, but you're going to put input into the system, missed this because it didn't assume this, It skipped this step, whatnot.
There's so much to talk about. We just can't do it justice in 40-some minutes. I looked at the HoloLens and all that augmented reality stuff. Maybe there's silver ideas out there, but now you have a silver lens. That what a way to end. Put that headset on and go find us an answer.
Yeah, you don't need batteries for your current probe. You need them for the HoloLens. Who used this last? You didn't plug it in.
Thank you so much, Matt Fonslow, Scott Shotton, for being here and doing a part two on diagnostic pathways. I appreciate it. We got to come back and do another one. This was terribly fun.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.